Voices of VR Podcast.
Hello, my name is Kent Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR Podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So continuing my series of looking at different immersive storytelling projects from Venice Immersive 2024, today's episode is with a piece called Mobile Suit Gundam Silver Phantom. So this is an anime and what they call a VR film. So it's more of a cinematic experience rather than an interactive game. Although there are some small interactions, it shouldn't be thought of as a game because it's much more cinematic in its approach. It's more of like you're stepping into an anime from the IP of Mobile Suit Gundam, which is over 45 years old now. So I had a chance to talk to a number of different creators on this project and to unpack the process of how it all came about. And it's also going to be releasing at some time here soon, so you'll be able to check it out here for yourself. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR Podcast. So this interview with the team behind Mobile Suit Gundam Silver Phantom happened on Thursday, August 29th, 2024. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
My name is Ogata, Naohiro Ogata, Gundam Executive Producer.
Hello, my name is Arnaud Collinard. I'm co-founder of Atlas V and Executive Producer on Mobile Suit Gundam.
Hello, I'm Julien Bercy. I'm the producer at Atlas V for this experience.
My name is Kichiro Inoue, Bandai Namco Film Works Producer.
My name is Ken Iadomi, producer for Silver Phantom.
And my name is Gael Chez, and I was the technical art director on this piece.
Great, and maybe you could each give a bit more context as to your background and your journey into working with virtual reality.
Let me just translate. VR industry に対するもっとバックグラウンドとかもなんかその自己紹介っぽく話してくれれば一人ずつっていうことはそうです。
VR このついて、あ、ついて。僕、日本語でいいんですよね。今回、ガンダムで初めて、映像では初めての VR の長編映像にチャレンジすることができて非常にガンダムってこれまで45年続いてきている映像の歴史があるんですけどその中でもすごくチャレンジングなことができたかなと考えています。
Actually it is our first challenge to produce a long length VR animated film for the Gundam. Gundam IP had been around for over 45 years.And then, which was our first time challenge to work on this project.
And for me, I started my journey in VR with Notes on Linus that I co-directed in 2016. That led me to start the Atlas V company, and we produce mainly narrative immersive project like Spheres or Battlescar or Gloomy Eyes. And Mobile Suit Silver Phantom is our first co-production with Japan. And also, it's probably the biggest and most exciting animation project we ever did in VR, and that's really a milestone, I think, for our company and also personally for me to be able to work with this team.
I began in VR in 2015 with a live-action movie. Then I moved to 3D real-time a few years ago, and I started working on the project in 2022, so maybe 2 years and a half on this project that we finally deliver to the audience soon.
ですね、CG の、まず最初ディレクションからキャリア始めてるんですけども、大体25年ぐらい CG をやってきて、8年ぐらい前から VR に取り組み始めて、その時は自分たちの会社だけだったんですけど、今回はアトラス5とかアルビオンさんと一緒にやって、すごくその何倍も、大きなものが達成できたなと思っているので、非常に感慨深いです。
He had been working on as a CG director for over 25 years, and then so about 8 years ago he started working in some of the VR product. But this is his first time to work on long lengths, and then also before was everything was produced just by our company. So first time to co-produce and working with foreign company, so which was great.
How about your own background and journey into VR?
Well, actually, which was my first experience. And then there was a guy whose name is Andy Frain, who is also executive producer on this show. I worked with him like over 30 years ago, you know, on a show called Ghost in a Shell. And he came to us and he wanted to introduce Atlas V and to see if we are interested in doing some VR project for Gundam. So that's how I start working on VR.
Well, it's a long story, but I did work on the for video game companies, doing some licenses like Disney stuff, etc. Also some visual effects for TV and pre-rendered CGI stuff. So I guess it's kind of logical to blend everything and come to VR. And I've been working with Atlas V since Battlescar. And yeah, many projects, Emperor last year and so forth.
Nice. And so, yeah, maybe you could elaborate on the early beginnings and discussion with Atlas V. You had mentioned a little bit, but yeah, just how did this VR project start?
Maybe it's good, you know, Arnold is a good person to answer. Yeah.
How this project started? So we produced several narrative pieces around 2018 to 2020. And we saw that we needed probably strong brand to bring more audience in VR. Also, if we wanted to chase fundings from tech companies such as Meta. And we were in discussion with the media team at Meta, who wanted to continue to explore narrative VR experience, but based on IP that could be like global IP. And it's how it led us to work on Wallace and Gromit that Julien also produced. And Gundam was the second IP we pitched through Andy Frain that Ken mentioned. And this is how we started the discussion with the Bandai Namco film, and especially the Sunrise Studio, to see if a collaboration around a Mobile Suit Gundam was possible. Because it's not only a co-production, it's also a co-fabrication between France and Japan.
And so where did you begin once you decided to do it? Where did things start to create a project like this?
I think it's about 3 years ago when we started. Yeah. I think, you know, at the beginning, like a negotiation and contract took maybe 3 to 6 months, something like that. And then, yeah, we first need to know what exactly Atlas V wants and what exactly Meta wants, so on. And then we are kind of not sure the meaning of like a VR experience and like a long future, you know, animated VR experience. So, and then the director also, you know, he had, you know, directed many of the CGI film, but also which was his first time directing VR film. So there are lots of challenge, yeah.
I think just to add on that, I think Sunrise is one of the best animation studio in the world. So of course we had discussion around what is the format of the project, what is creatively meaningful for Sunrise and then Bandai Namco Film to participate to this project. We had a lot of discussion with Kenichi Suzuki, who is the director, around his creative proposal for VR. And also with Meta to balance the question around interactivity, duration. But what I think we managed to do together is something that is very aligned with the editorial project made by Bandai Namco Film. And it's really also connected with what we wanted to do at Atlas V, which is really pushing the envelope of narrative immersive storytelling.
Great. I'm wondering if you could give us a little bit of an introduction to the world of Gundam and a little bit of the lore. You said it's 45 years old, so yeah, I'd love to hear.
Gundam の歴史に関してこのちょっと話をしてください。いや、ヒオガンさん。
あ、ガンダムはあの今年で45周年あの迎えまして、あのすごく多くたくさんの作品がガンダムの中で生まれてきてます。で、今、2029年の50周年に向けて、あの今結構、まあ、日本だったりとかアジアだったりとかそういったところで非常に人気が高いんですけど、これからやっぱりもっと北米だったりとか、ヨーロッパに、ガンダムをもっとあの広く知ってもらいたいと考えているので、まあ、こういったあの今回の VR の、作品だったりとかを通じて、よりこれまでもあの見てないガンダムに、触れてない方でも、触れてもらえるとすごくありがたいと思っています。
So this is the 45th anniversary for Gundam and it's had been around, you know, for many years with so many series. You know, we have so many more than 何タイトルぐらいでしたっけ。More than 30 TV series and many films. And whereas, you know, like Gundam had been popular all over the world, particularly in Japan and also in Asia. But our mission is to, you know, make it more popularity outside of Asia, including Europe and the US. So we hope, you know, like working on a VR experience could help, you know, doing more business on the Gundam.
And in, is the characters that we're following in the story, have they have a long history and a part of the lore, or are they new characters? Or
今回のそのストーリーに関してちょっとその今までのガンダムのストーリーにどっか基づいたストーリーなのかどうかのあたりを。
言えるところってこれいつ出るんですか?宇宙世紀とかはもう行っちゃって、もう全然行ってますので、あとなんだっけ、あの、その時間軸とかはもう行ってますんで。ガンダムで一番有名な、一番まあ人気のあるというか、昔からある、096年、0096年なんで、逆襲のシャアとユニコーンの間ですよね。間をつなぐストーリーということで始めています、と簡単に言うとそのぐらいですかね。はい。
Yeah, it's based under the Universal Century, which is the original Gundam series, you know, like a timeline. And then after the original series, there's a movie called Shaz Counterattack, which takes place 0093. And this VR film takes place 0096. So it's a cross to Shaz Counterattack and also, you know, prior to another series called Gundam Unicorn. So it's very, you know, famous timeline for the all the Gundam fan.
Okay. And then, so is this a new story or is this a retelling of an existing story that already existed?
New story.
And then, so maybe talk about the process of developing the story, if it was like the narrative and the interaction and how much those two realms of how the VR parts and what would look good in VR, and maybe talk about this collaboration between the two companies in order to kind of
全体のストーリーを構築していく中で、あの途中でインタラクティブパートっていうのも入った中で、その全体のストーリーどうやってデベロップしていったか。どうやってデベロップしていったか。まあでも基本的にスクリプトライターとかライターの関西さんと鈴木監督がストーリーを考えていったんですけど、 まずIAパート、インタラクティブパートは、かなり絞って数を絞って、メインストーリーをよりシンプルに、要するにあまりあの難しくしないでストーリーを考えていて、その中に、視聴者がより体験できるところを増やしていこうっていう、これまあメタさんのね、いろんな要望もあったので、後から組み込んで、組み込んでいきました、増やしていきましたっていう流れですかね。
From BNF side, our side, you know, director and writer, you know, Mr. Sekinishi, they came up with a basic, you know, storyline, and then we share with Atlas Five, and then Atlas Five share with Meta, and then there was a catchboard, and then we try to develop a story, pretty simple, you know, for audience to understand, and also Mr. Suzuki, the director, you know, discuss with Ferdinando at Atlas Five. What kind of interaction that we need to have, you know, within a story. And then Mr. Suzuki came up with lots of idea about, you know, what if you experience Universal Century, what kind of thing you want to experience? Then, you know, we discuss and nail down what kind of interaction we shall have, you know, within a story. Then we complete the entire storyline. It was a very long process. And then there are lots of, you know, like a deny or, you know, like from French team, you know, you cannot do that. And, or, you know, from us, oh, that's too much interaction, so on. But that's how we developed.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from the Atlas Five side what that process was like to
start, and then Julien probably again. Yeah, I think what was new for us in this project is that most of the time we don't produce an experience that is so long in terms of pure narration. So we actually have a real script printed with hundreds of pages. And that was super excited to reconnect with the story development of a feature format. But it also create a lot of challenge in terms of how you create a beat in the experience with the interaction. So we had to respect this narrative intention that is really at the center of the anime culture, and at the same time to find the right moment to introduce interactions that are meaningful for the story and also meaningful for the audience, and to deliver something that is exciting and that is not a video game. Because one of the points was like, we want to do something narrative, something linear and augmented by the immersion and interaction, but we don't want to fall in something that is an arcade experience. And Gaël, sorry, and for on Albion side, because Gaël was one of the lead creative on the project at Albion, I think you also share much more discussion with the BNF team to find the right balance in terms of interaction technically and also creatively.
Well, indeed, technically it was a challenge, but creatively the most important thing is like, who is your audience basically? Because you are creating a movie, so you want to be appealing to a mass audience and be broad enough to not push away some very casual player viewers, but at the same time you want to be enticing for those who are used to VR. So it's a fine mix to find. You also don't want to ruin the rhythm of the piece. So yeah, it was like many discussions. Also, you need to appeal to the die-hard fans of Gundam, because we know that they want, spoiler ahead, you want to be in the cockpit, sure, and you will be. And yes, it took time, but I hope that you will enjoy it.
Yeah, and usually with anime, there's a lot of expressivity that happens in the face. And when I see a lot of CGI, there's like maybe something that's more performance capture. And so I'm wondering if you could talk through like how you were able to do either the motion capture or the facial animations in this piece.
アニメの CG ってよくモーションキャプとかフェイシャルキャプチャーやって、やってる感じなんですが、今回はどんな感じなんでしょうか。キャラクターはモーションキャプチャーで撮って、ただし顔の表情はビデオというか録画を参考につけているので、そこは手でつけてますね。で、あとメカに関しては全部手でアニメーションをつけているという感じで作ってます。
We did the mocap motion capture for only for characters and all for the mecha. And also facial, everything was hand-drawn.
Nice. And in 360 videos, you're put into a space and there's not a lot of edits that happen. But in this piece, there's been some other pieces that have had this as well, where you're really meant to be looking forward. And if you turn around, you may get actually penalized because there'll be an edit and you'll be looking the wrong way. So you're trained to look in one position and to have that sort of edits. And so I'm wondering, you know, this is kind of a language that's still developing and emerging, and you know, what that process was like to find that sweet spot of how to find the rhythm of the edits.
視線誘導が360度の場合難しくて、こういわゆるその視聴者が見てる目線で何が起きてるかをどういかに誘導するかって、こう横見ちゃうと見えなくなって分かんなくなったり することあると思うんですけど、今回どんな感じでそれを<笑>やったでしょうかっていう。鈴木監督が基本がコンテの、要するにあんまりいろんなところに見せるものを用意しちゃうと多分見失うだろうってことなんで、なるべく前のところにまず演出しようってことで、演出する先はもうなるべく正面にはまとめてます。ただどうしても見てほしいところは、お隣、 セリフなりで一応アテンションというか注意を引くような仕掛けをして、そこに視線が行くようにしてます。ただそこはまあ本当に数としては少ないんですけど。それ何面でしたっけ、コンテ。コンテは6面ですよね。
We did like a 6-dimension storyboard the director created, and then basically we wanted to focus what's happening the scene, and then also adding sound and then dialogue. So a viewer's attention automatically goes there. And then, you know, if you look around, you see the like stars and then ship, but pretty much like a drama is going on one place. That's how we design.
I can add something, because one of the challenge on this experience was to find the good workflow between Bandai, which is a huge company, and Atlas V and Albion, which are small studio compared to Bandai. So it took us a long time to find the trust between each other. We had to wait until we traveled to Japan and meet them in real. So Ferdinand, which is the CTO of Albion and Atlas V, can meet in real Suzuki-san, our director, and then try to find a way to understand and to explain what is the grammar of the VR, what should be the grammar of the VR, what an audience can expect from a VR experience, but also to respect Suzuki-san's vision, what he wanted to do, and what anime bring to audience, and respect also that in anime there is a lot of cuts. This is the way it works. It's for several reasons, and we cannot tell him that we need to do not have cuts because we want to respect him, but we ask him to remove some cuts because at one point it was too much cuts. But we try to find a good balance between that.
Yeah basically that's it's I mean it's a movie. It's an anime translated into VR. So the goal was not to do like some kind of video game stuff or cinematic stuff or theater stuff, you know. It was really to find the look and feel of a traditional Gundam anime, which is sometimes a fast action-based movie, and not only that. And yes, it was complicated to find the right balance because you want to be true to what is an anime. And you know that sometimes in VR it could be a little bit stressful for the viewer to have crazy things happening, basically. We hope again that people will enjoy what we did in the end. And yes, and the 360 storyboard that we did, and the animatics and testing again, including people who have easy motion sickness, you know, and just make sure that, okay, he's not throwing up, so it means that it should work, basically.
So normally when you design a story, you have a 2D storyboard where you're mapping out the story, but having six-dimensional storyboard means that you're designing the space, but also the main action that's usually forward-facing. And so once you created these six-dimensional storyboards, then did you hand them over to Alice V or Albion? Like, what happened from that point to then start to iterate and creating them?
Well, basically, we share everything to Atlas V and Albion. And then, you know, we've created the previous. And then, you know, doing the catchboard on opinions. And then Sunrise was in charge of narrative. And then Albion was in charge of adding effect. And then, like...
Sorry, the integration and stuff.
Integration, yeah. And shading. Like, yeah. Optimization, yeah. So those are challenges because we worked in a different system. So Mr. Inoue worked on the Max, making animation, and sent to Gale. And then Gail import in the Unity.
Yep.
And then adding effects, and yep. That's how we worked.
To be more detailed, the thing is like they started with the storyboard using several panels, so that they knew what to do in 3ds Max. Then the 3D was rendered as a spherical, standard spherical video, low quality video, so that you can at least take a look at, okay, it should look like this without the depth of it. And then it was critical to be as quick as possible, doing an animatic basic blockout and stuff that we could be visualizing inside Unity, inside the headset. Then you could validate the space and the speed and the dynamics and stuff, and then they could start animating stuff the right way. And then again, re-import into Unity, shade, light, FX, sound, post effects, etc., etc.
And then that animation phase, was that happening in 2D or 3D when you're animating it?
Both. Yeah. And actually, there's some hand-drawing animation also. But even for that, you know, like they first, you know, worked in CGI modeling first, then do animated. Cool. So there was lots of work. Yeah.
Most of the experience is 3D animation, and there is some Sakuga scene, what we call Sakuga scene, which are 2D animation, which are more flashbacks, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm wondering what you were working on and as this was developing and what the process of the story and the development was happening, then what type of things were you focusing in on?
Ogata-san, question for him?
Yeah.
Ogata-san's role as this project, how did he contribute to this project?
Sorry, sorry. 僕の役割がガンダム総合的に映像の方のプロデュースをしてまして、今回の取り組みに対する
ゴーサインとあとはガンダム全体の、部分で、この映像の置かれる位置づけだったりとかあと、ガンダムの世界観の中でこういったことをやっていいかとか出していいかとかそういった判断をするのが僕の役回りです。はい。
Head producer on the Gundam, so he validate everything. So we cannot do anything without his validation. So time to time, you know, he validate and also he position this show where this show could, you know, go along with other Gundam series and so on. Yeah.
Great. So I know it's going to be launching here soon, and I'm wondering if you've been able to show it to some folks here at Venice, but also like if you've been able to get some early feedback and what some of the people who are either Gundam fans or not fans, if what kind of feedback you've received so far.
もうそろそろリリースされると思うんですけど、これ見せた、今まで見せた、ベネスで見せた人とか、他でも見た人のそのフィードバックとか、そのお客さんの反応はどうですかっていう。
Actually, we haven't, you know, shown much yet. So I think Venice is the first time we are showing to the public.But we, you know, like showed like a trailer, and we had lots of, you know, good feedback from the fans.
関係者非常に面白く見ていると思います。で、今回のベニスで関係者以外が多く見ると思います。で、すごくその反応が楽しみです。
Good feedback from the old anime industry, and also other than anime industry, it's the first time we are showing at the Venice, so we are looking forward to.See what kind of reaction do we get?
Actually, you are one of our first tester, and it's not in your top 10. So, if you can answer that, we will be happy to know that.
Yeah, I think I had some. I don't know if there were like bugs that was playing. I didn't get a chance to play all the way through it yet, so I've played through about half of it. But I think here at Venice, people are only able to see like half of it, so they're not able to see all of it. So the clock ran out of time for me to hop on a plane, so it was like one of the last things. So I was like wanting to see all of it. So, but yeah, I'm coming from a very much a VR perspective, and so I feel like.It's actually getting into a new category of different audiences that are kind of beyond the XR industry and what's happening. So I feel like there's less technical innovations of VR proper, but still kind of like new forms of storytelling that are expanding into new genres that I think is actually really quite important. And yeah, it was sort of my own personal list of stuff. And also, I think part of the when I recommend stuff to see...It's stuff that people won't be able to see elsewhere. So it's like, be sure to see this, otherwise you may not catch it type of thing. So, yeah.
I think you are mentioning something that is really a challenge for all the VR creators is that there is a huge difference between people who will discover the project at home and how it works in a festival. When you want to do a mainstream project with a budget of several million, you have to reach a duration that is meaningful for the audience in a VR game or in a linear VR project. But in a festival, you have the constraint of the host, you have the constraint of the time slot, etc., etc. So we are always torn in terms of how to present the project. Let's imagine in Cannes, you are cutting the film after 2 hours because there is no enough film, you know? So these kind of things show how we are still in the early days of VR. And as you mentioned, this project and some decisions we took are based on the fact that Gundam is a pretty old IP from the 70s. There is a strong community around it, and it's actually also this community the director wanted to honor.And we think there is some overlap with the VR community. But this project is above all a homage, a tribute to, from the Atlas V perspective, also in France, we are being raised by 2D Japanese animation very early in the 80s. And yeah, it's a kind of tribute to the Mobile Suit Gundam universe and to Japanese animation. And we probably took some decision that we'll never...took for some other project because it's not Japanese animation. For example, there is a lot of camera tilt, and it's something that was very strong in Suzuki-san directing. And in some other project, we will probably say, no, you don't do that in VR. Yes, but you don't do that in VR, but you do that in an anime. and it's an VR anime, but above all, we wanted to explore what an anime can be in a VR format. And for me, that's the innovation and the most exciting part of the project.
That's totally experimental, actually. And that's what is cool, because usually when you see VR pieces, it's like, oh, what can we do in VR? But this was like, what can we do in terms of movie and animation, and then try to put everything into the quest and make it as badass as possible, basically.
Yeah, I know there's a 45-minute slot, so I played up to that point, and I was like, well, this feels like it's going to keep going for a while, and so I'm trying to replicate that experience, and I feel like the more ideal situation would be like a theater full of people with all these headsets, and people could sit and watch and experience the entire thing in a way that they could see the full arc of the story. But the constraints of space and limitation and logistics means that, you know, they weren't able to do it in this context. But I think in the context of people seeing it at home, that it's going to work a lot better for them to go at their own pace in their own time to be able to see it. So, yeah.
Just regarding the setup you mentioned, Astria, Bandai Namco film marketing team and Meta marketing team in Japan are working together to create setup that you describe, which are like a kind of feature length screening session of the experience, probably between 60 to 100 seats. So we will see how it goes, but you are totally right about the setup needed for this kind of experience.
Very cool. Well, as we start to wrap up, I'd love to hear what each of you think is the ultimate potential of virtual reality and what it might be able to enable.
Well, I think it's going to be expand, you know, maybe not so quick, but slowly, you know, and then, you know, like I see the huge markets already in America, but in Japan it's still very small. But I think people, you know, taking a look at more closely to the industry now. VR マーケットについて今後これからどう思います？じゃあどうぞ。
VR マーケット、そうですね、これメタさんって言っても大丈夫ですか？メタクエストがやっぱり一番シェアがあるっていうところで今回一緒にできて嬉しいんですけども、こういうガンダムとか人気の IP が入ってくることで、多分です、今までちょっとゆっくりだった日本のマーケットっていうんですかね、そこが活性化されて、より他の IP も入ってきて、でまた次の作品も作りやすくなるっていう風に流れが変わるんじゃないかなっていうぐらい、なんかこう明るくなる兆しを感じています。はい、そんなところです。
First of all, he is very happy that, you know, he could work with Meta, and then in Japan, you know, like a market had been developed very slow, but, you know, since like IP such as Gundam and other Japanese, you know, like anime start to, you know, developed in VR, I think the flow going to be changedAnd I think that many more people start to working on a VR project, which will open the door in Japan.
そうですね。VR に限らず今、イマーシブな体験というのが非常に日本でも世界でもすごい増えていて、日本でも、もともとガンダムでもちょっとそういったドーム上の、映像施設とかそういったところでプラネタリウムみたいなところで体験する施設があったんですけど、最近やっぱりイマーシブなシアターというのがすごく増えてきているので、やっぱり世界中にその VR 映像のそういったビジネスのチャンスというのがこれからどんどん増えていくんじゃないかなと、期待しています。
He expects, you know, it's going to be more market, and particularly not only in Japan but also outside of Japan. Immersive experience is getting very popular. And in Gundam, you know, we used to have like a 180 dome type of the screen, you know, place. And, you know, VR, you know, will be more popular throughout the world, you know, and I think it's going to be very popular.
Where's this all going? What's the ultimate potential of it all?
Future potential? I don't know. VR is still young, and VR world is still... it will keep getting better and better, so I just hope that more and more people will adopt this and be able to experience new ways of seeing things and consuming things and experiencing things and stuff like that, basically.
You know, so I'm close to my 10 years in VR.Which seems long, because when I started, people said, you know, in 10 years, everybody will have an headset. And 10 years after, people said, in 10 years, everybody will have an headset. So I think it's like trying to, it was maybe like, I don't know, maybe in the 60s to imagine what would be the future of computer. It became something very different from the beginning. on a personal level, what I'm really excited about and what we are trying to do is this kind of 6DoF animation film or experience. But we know it will be a niche because VR is about presence, it's about interaction. But I really believe that at some point we will see, yes, 6DoF animation, so animation film or feature film, even in live action, where you will have this feeling of 3D, not only in a, like in a 3D film, but with this capacity to have parallax effect. And I think even that, even if it's a 180 experience and not 360, it's so strong in terms of immersion that I really believe it will become something for franchise, but also even for indie. And that's the things I'm the more excited about, but maybe I'm the only one and people are more excited about gaming. But for me, that's what I'm still really seeing as a strong potential. And we will see also what new headset brings in this area.
Yes, I really hope so, because I was really pleased to work on this project. That was a big challenge, but I'm really happy we managed to do it. I hope we can do another one and capitalize on what we learned from this project to do a better thing and to still tell story to audience. Yes.
Yeah, one quick follow-up I have about Gundam, because I'm not familiar with the IP. I've never watched any movies, never read any books, and the only thing I've done is played a little bit of this experience, of the first half of it. And so if there's other people out there like me who are not familiar with this world of Gundam, then do you have any recommendations for movies or books that people should check out?
That's a very tough question, but I do say there are three original movie Gundam, first Gundam, and then Shao's Counterattack, and a Unicorn, maybe, yeah. latest work.
Okay. To watch the latest work, okay. Right. Is there anything else that's left unsaid that you'd like to say to the immersive community?
Yeah, something I would like to mention is like we had the chance to work with Ryan Genji Thomas, who's a former DreamWorks producer who is now at Meta. And he was probably one of the best producers bringing his immersive experience expertise, but also his animation expertise. And we had been really free to deliver the creative vision of Suzuki-san and of the team around the Mobile Suit Gundam franchise. And it had been a huge luck to do that with him. And now we will see how the audience perceive this project of a new format, which is, it's not a short film, it's not a game, so we will see how it works, and especially in Japan, because right now Japan is probably the second most promising market after US for immersive. Japanese audience are used to technology, to video game, to movies, to anime. They have small apartments also, but they go to arcade. So there is a lot of things that match with the way VR is used. And we really hope to have feedbacks from the community around this project. So please share it on the comments on the store and even bugs, the good and the bad. And we'll be very happy to have feedback.
Yeah, I saw that you had, it was called a VR film within the context of the trailer. So it's a film that happens to be in VR, I guess. Yeah.
Right. Just to insist, it's not a 360 film. And one of the reasons we mention VR film and not VR experience or VR game is that we don't want people to misjudge the project when they buy it and think it's a Mobile Suit Gundam game. So it's more than a film. It's different than a game. So people will decide what it actually is.
And it comes with two mixed reality add-on, which user can experience, and they will probably enjoy also this two experience. Fan will quite enjoy that, yeah.
Just like to add that this is the way for fans to experience what is a mobile suit in the real life size and to be into the space battle with everything as big as it should be. I guess no theaters or TV can bring you this kind of feeling. I hope at least that they will feel that. So that's what is cool about this piece.
Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts.
Ah, 今回すごい本当に日本とフランス含めていろんなチームが新しいチャレンジできたと思ってますんで、ぜひ あのこれまでガンダム見てない人でも、あのガンダムこれまで応援してくれた人も全員あの新しい体験をぜひ、この VR の、シルバーファントムでしていただければと思いますので、ぜひ楽しみにしてください。
I want people who are familiar with Gundam or not, you know, want you to experience this new experience watching by, you know, this film. Thank you
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and looking forward to seeing how, you know, this finds a, I think it's a new genre in some ways of kind of a blending of things that are new and different. So I think the challenge will be for people who are very used to getting a game off of MetaQuest and having a certain amount of expectations. But I think there's also a whole other set of people who are fans of the IP that maybe this will be their first VR experience that they've had. So I think it's expanding out the market in new and exciting ways. And so very excited to see where this goes in the future. So thanks again for joining me here to help break it all down. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. See you soon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again for listening to these episodes from Venice Immersive 2024. And yeah, I am a crowdfunded independent journalist. And so if you enjoy this coverage and find it valuable, then please do consider joining my Patreon at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.